looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, giving you reasons to feel good. And I just love bringing you exceptional authors like I have today who express their experience through writing. And I'm always happy to share with you, as the listeners, all the goodies that these authors really bring so that you can have holistic happiness. And we're starting today off with one that everybody connects, you know, happiness too, which is love. But it's a different kind of a love. This is going to be an interesting one. I've called this one finding deep love, but it's in a way that it's not how you think, because we're talking about the newest book from David Essel, the title of the book is Angel on a Surfboard. And I just want to tell you this, you know, when David writes anything, and I got to tell you about who David is in case you don't know, but I can't imagine anybody not knowing who you are, David, but this book was really fun, and everybody has to read it. You know, it's one of those books that it's like jumping into a soap opera, but you actually get some quality and value from it, as well as the entertainment part, right?
That's right.
So everybody, David Essel's been on the show just a few times, and I could have him every month, to be honest, but then, you know, we'll get spoiled. So I just want to share that David has helped thousands of people from around the world to achieve their greatest goals in every area of life. I can say that with such honesty, like, oh my gosh, David does, like, we'll go through the lot of things, but, you know, he's a master teacher. He's an author of, like, I think this is his 10th one, a storyteller, radio TV host, seeker, finder, inspirational speaker, which he truly is. He's a fun guy. All faith minister, adjunct professor, and here we go, life, business, relationship, and addiction recovery coach who marvels at the beauty of the life God has blessed us with. And David, like you really, it's every area, and we've talked about different ones from positive thinking to not positive thinking. to this, like I'm so, because relationship, and you really, that's in everything, and it's not that you just focus on it, because you still do everything, but this will focus on relationships. But is that something that just is strong right now within your practice?
Lisa, yeah, it's so great to be back with you, honey. I've been looking forward to this, and my publicist, TJ, got all fired up when I was back on with you. So this has been great. I'd say probably 50% of my work as a counselor, as a life coach, is wrapped up in the world of relationships, which is why this new book is so perfectly timed. You know, it is about relationships. It's a mystical, sensual romance novel.
Ooh.
And the interesting thing, Lisa, is that, you know, a lot of authors will go into a certain genre. You know, as you mentioned earlier, we don't have a genre. We cover every topic in the world. But I never really imagined myself writing a novel on love. And this book was an absolute freaking gift. I mean, in all my books, and I write this in the preface of Angel on the Surfboard, a mystical romance novel that explores the keys to deep love. In the preface, I wrote that, you know, in all the books I've written, and you're right, this is number 10, I always have a detailed outline. If we have certain characters in the book, I'll outline the character's biography. I'll look at stories. And, I mean, we put a lot of effort into outlining a book. And if you outline a book correctly, the writing part is effortless. But this was the first book of my life that I never even had a clue that I was going to write, number one. And number two, I had no outline whatsoever. And so, you know, in the world of spirituality, the only word that I can come up with that would say, how does a guy write a book with no outline whatsoever? And that is, I believe, the book was channeled through me. Mm-hmm. I was in Hawaii. I went out to speak to a large corporation, and I ended up spending 3 weeks there. I spent a week on Oahu, a week on Maui, and a week on Kauai. And on this, I got there on a Thursday, spoke on a Friday, and on a Saturday, I went to the hotel pool, and I always have a ledger pad of paper, and I just started writing. And 4 hours later, I looked up, and I couldn't believe, Lisa, that first of all, that 4 hours went by, and then I looked at my legal pad, and the pad was completely full. And so I started to, I was having fun. I mean, I was just really having a blast writing it. I mean, I wasn't intending this to be a book. I don't even know how it started. And when I got done with it, I ran up to my hotel room. I called a buddy of mine who lives in Seattle, Lee Witt. And I said, hey, I got to read you like 45 minutes of something I wrote. And,
oh, gosh.
This might be a book. I don't know where it came from. And I read him 45 minutes of material, and the very next thing he said is, get your butt back to the pool and finish that book.
A great place to be.
Yeah. And,
totally
and
inspired.
It was fully inspired, you know. And then the cool thing that happened is as I spent time on each of these different islands, like there are events in the book that if people have visited Hawaii, you will recognize exactly where I am, where I'm writing from, because of the events that happened, of some of the outrageously weird, wacky, funny, and then sensual things that all happened in the Hawaiian Islands.
You actually wrote it in such a way, and maybe that's even why, because it's so real, but I feel like I was there. I feel like I got to watch that in person, mm-hmm. and that's what stuck with me. It's like I remember everything about it. And then the thing that you were saying there is as you get that inspiration, you said, you know, 50% of your practice, I would say, you'd say is on relationships. So there was something that really needed to come through you because of writing this book. Have the people read it? Has it helped them come further along in their coaching with you? It's like it could be a workbook.
Yeah, that's a great question. The book came out about a month ago. And so we have at least a half a dozen of my clients that wanted the book right away. They read it, and one guy the other day said the same thing you did, but he said, you know, David, not only did I see myself in the book, I saw at the end when you started to post what we need to be aware of when we're looking for deep love, and he said, you know, there was things that you were posting that I looked at and said, I've really got to change with that. And then he mm-hmm. said, then you worried about the next thing, and all of a sudden he goes, and I need to change this too. So it's been a great opportunity mm-hmm. for the clients to look within mm-hmm. and to enjoy the book because it's a very high level of spirit and energy and fun, but then to look truly at the keys to deep love and to ask yourself, am I there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a lot of us put so much pressure on ourselves to be in a relationship that we don't bother looking in the mirror and say, is there something I need to change if I'm single right now in order to have my next relationship be successful? And that's really what the book does. It says, hey, here's the keys you need to be looking at and seeing if you need to make adjustments in your life mm-hmm. so that you can match these keys to deep love and increase dramatically your chance of creating that love you desire.
It is. I have to tell you this. So this is my big secret fun share, the reveal here, especially all the listeners. But I had the privilege, like the honor of, which you'd never know this. You offered me to let me sit in on your On to Life coaching course back in August. And yeah. Guys, this is intense. And I was like, I could spend 2 days with David, of course. Now, this is all, you know, over the internet. So, and I listened to it. I booked the time off. I had that phone. I never left it. And I took the pee breaks. And we had the pee breaks. And I came right back, you know. And stuff. And I have to tell you, I did the first day. And I knew my world was rocked. And because I really couldn't even sleep and stuff. And then after the second day, I have to tell you this, David. I literally had to take about 3 weeks off of my life because I had to revamp everything. It was that intense. It was heavy for me. You were fun and light and joking, but it was so real. And when you say to change, the challenge to change, I have to tell everybody that's what you do. You do really challenge people to change. Like I went through everything from being angry with you and hating you to loving you. But it was like, that book you wrote, did you write that after that thing in August? I can't now because I'm trying to put the timeline.
The book Positive Think. Oh, wait, which book did
I write? Oh, The Angel.
Now?
Yeah, The Angel and the Surfboard.
Oh, Angel. Yeah, actually, Angel was it was in the process of being rewritten at that time.
Okay.
and I was adding more to it. You know, when I wrote the main manuscript, I thought I was done. And then, you know, and I pulled it back out, said, oh, wait a minute. No. We've got to make some changes here. So the course that you took is our Life Coach Level One certification, right? And really, it's a mind-blowing course, Lisa. What you went through, the shift in emotions and everything, is what 90% of people go through.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the next day that people came together, I had received quite a few comments of, you know, some individuals going, I didn't know I'd be looking in the mirror this deeply.
Yeah.
Other people said, I really thought I had it together until at the end of day one, I saw that I'm really behind the eight ball. You know, that's just being open and honest.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with saying, wow, I thought I had, oh my God, Lisa. And I've said this to so many people in so many interviews and in my books, you know, I have changed my beliefs about love, about positive thinking, about success, about motivation in some huge, dramatic ways. I mean, massive ways. And I had to look in the mirror, especially like when we talk about what is the power of the mind, how powerful is the mind? Like, can you really visualize a car in your driveway and have it happen? Well, from 1980 to 1996, I really believed that was definitely possible, that if you had the right mindset, that you could overcome addiction, you'd make millions of dollars. And I was full of BS because I was just following other gurus of that time. Mm-hmm. And so I had to wake up and shatter my beliefs. And then when it came to this book, Angel on the Surfboard, you know, there's a couple scenes in there that even when I read them today, Lisa, they still move me. And one of them is when Sandy Tavish, who's the star of the book, and he's a relationship writer, and he's out in Hawaii trying to figure out what the keys to deep love are. And he runs into a beautiful retired female surf champ who is outrageously jaded at men. And she actually has proof of why she's jaded, and she has a physical handicap. We find out, like, she's stunning and gorgeous, but she's got this physical handicap. And so as she's talking to Sandy, this is one of the things Sandy had awakened to, is that we don't really know what our current or future partner that we're going to be with for life looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, we have all these crap books on soulmates, et cetera, that say, you know, write out your characteristics. He's 6'2", he has blonde hair, he makes $200,000 a year, you know, and focus on that and find pictures of it. Well, that's all a bunch of nonsense. The reality is the person that you fall deeply in love with, and I give examples of clients that have followed my teaching in our book, Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, but this book will. One of the stories I tell in there, and it's the same thing that happened on Angel on the Surfboard, is that, you know, this woman in the Positive Thinking book had actually went to all the soulmate courses and had drawn up her characteristics of the height and weight and the money that her future husband would make. And for years, she held strong on that. She has a vision board and she has her affirmations. And after she and I worked together, I didn't see her for 4 years, and she ended up being married to a short, bald guy who was overweight, the exact opposite of her 6'2", ripped, blonde hair, blue-eyed man. And she said she's the happiest she's ever been. Mm-hmm. So in our book, Angel on a Surfboard, we take it, and we take that message, and we say, you know, like, do not judge that this person who you laugh with and who you goof around and giggle with, but they're not the greatest shape or they don't have a ton of money or whatever, don't discard the potential. Because in several of my books so far, we've written about people that have dropped all that nonsensical thinking and they found great love. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the book Angel on the Surfboard takes six different areas, and one of them is, you know, do not project that you know what your future partner is supposed to look like. It could be totally different, and you will end up shooting yourself in the foot if you hold on to these old adages about vision boards and affirmations of the perfect man or woman. And we want that message to come through really strong, Lisa.
Yes, and that brings a really big question about going the other way. What about the couples who, they do get together and they look a certain way and they're fit and this and that and whatever, and then after 20 years of marriage, they age, they're going to age a little bit. They're going to shift around a little bit. They change their hair color, you know. What? Because that would be a horrible thing to say, you know, I don't love you anymore because you used to. Like, what do we do in those situations where we suddenly find ourselves like, oh, wow, I didn't expect them to do. How do you get away from that judgment and that, oh, poor me, my mate, you know, gained 20 pounds, you know?
I know, yeah, it's an interesting question. Well, first I'll tell you something very cute. Yesterday I saw a quote from Jane Fonda.
Oh, I love her.
And she said, and I don't know who she was married to at this time, but she was referring to a former husband, and she said, you know, I was with my husband for a number of years, and one day he looked at me and he said, you know, I just have to be honest with you. I am so attracted to these women with red hair, and I'm not going to end the marriage, I don't think. But I just have to tell you, if you see me staring at women with red hair, like, you know, I just have this incredible attraction. And Jane Fonda says, I looked at him and said, okay, and I went out and had my hair colored red. and she said it was one of the smartest moves I ever made.
Because she listened to what?
Yes. Yeah,
that, no, I was not expecting. You always do that, David. You always throw something at me that I was not expecting. I was like, what? Is she not okay? we have to slip away to commercial break, which is about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But just because I knew you were going to do that. That's a great reason why everybody should come back to find out why David does think that's so smart and the best thing that she ever did. Because that's shocking. So everybody come on back and find out what shocking things you can do and not do in love.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Namaste, friends. This is Deva Pramala Mitten. And we want to let you know that we will be in America and Canada this May. We'll be coming with our Wings of Mantra World Tour, coming up the West Coast to Boulder, Santa Fe, Sedona, Scottsdale, Santa Barbara, L.A., Marin, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Escondido, Edmonds, and up to Canada to Victoria and Vancouver. You can find details on our website, devapramalmiten.com. Hope to see you there. Lots of love. Namaste.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Imagine tapping into a power where you can access the ability to transform your views of money, success, happiness, and fulfillment. A power that you could unlock hidden talents, uncover new meaning, and amplify the significance of your purpose. Well, the feminine heart is the source of that power, intelligence, insight, and understanding. Join this new wave of women's leadership that's emerging. Be the woman who knows her greatest power to create goes well beyond the day-to-day striving for results. Be the woman who knows her true power to contribute to the world in significant ways is one that expresses her heart, enlivens her creativity, and elevates her spirit. Rise, amazing woman, rise. An amazing woman legacy book compiled by Marsh Engel, sharing the 8 essential powers of the feminine from 8 influential mentors, entrepreneurs, and change makers that will help you tap into that power. Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. Your Legacy Begins by Leading with a Feminine Heart.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and I've got a pretty incredible man here, David Essel, and he is over 25 years. He has just used a variety of healing methods to help people release limiting beliefs regarding money, their bodies, love, addiction, a lack of self-identity, and so much more. And he's here talking and sharing with us about his 10th book, Angel on a Surfboard. And you know what? One thing he does, and I have to say this, there's a thing I call it's challenge to change. And Dave even just left us with a story, a quote from Jane Fonda before commercial there. And I do have a question about that. So is that like, okay, so the quote was, and she went ahead and changed her hair to red. Is it important to satisfy our partner's desires like that? Or what was your belief or feeling about that?
Yeah, I think it is, Lisa. One of the things that, you know, it's kind of funny. We have so many, you know, individuals that are hard scrabbled, that they have their feet in cement and accept me the way I am. And if you can't accept me, you know, Marilyn Monroe had that horrendously terrible quote. I mean, it's a horrendous quote. And it goes, if you can't accept me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Oh, yeah.
And Lisa, that is horrendous. That is an egocentric, narcissistic comment. You know, it's like what that says is I can do whatever the hell I want to you. If I'm in a bad mood, if I'm PMSing, if I'm hungover, if I'm just, you know, mad at the world, I can do whatever I want. And if you can't accept me at my worst, you're not going to get me at my best. And if someone ever said that to me, they wouldn't even get the full quote out of their mouth. And I would be gone.
Yes. You know, I mean, that's so interesting. And I love that you're sharing that because, you know what, there's no excuse for not being your best and wanting to give that to somebody who you do love.
It's true. And so if, you know, if your wife or girlfriend comes to you and says, honey, you know, when we got married 30 years ago, when we started dating 10 years ago, I loved how active we were. You were in great shape. And then, like, a lot of times what happens in couples, Lisa, is that once you catch your mate, then you start to let things go.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have clients that were in the gym 6 days a week looking great while they're looking to attract the man of their dreams or the woman of their dreams. And then once they got it, they said, well, you know what? I got what I wanted. Now I can just be whatever I want. And that's so uncool.
Yeah, the trick, trap.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's bait. You know, it's the bait and switch. And what I say, if you love your partner and if they've really let themselves go and they're drinking too much or they're eating too much or they're whatever, they're spending too much, you have every right in the world to say, hey, I want you at your full potential for me.
Yes.
I want us to be together living a very long life, a very happy life. And it's not going to happen with, you know, you gaining this amount of weight or drinking this much or smoking or overeating. So let's together make these changes. You know, and I think that's one of the ways that we can introduce this is through a positive. Hey, I want to be together with you for another 10, 15, 20, 50 years. And I want us to have a lot of time to be healthy. But the lifestyle we're leading right now isn't going to bring that. So let's do this. I'm still going to the gym, and I would love to invite you with me. I would love to get up at 4 a.m. or 6 a.m. and walk for an hour with you every day. What is it that we can do together that'll get us back into the shape and the mindset we were when we first met? I think that that's very viable to say to a partner.
I love that you said the mindset of it, because you're right. It's something that you do. It's a daily practice, and you are big on daily practices, actually. and I love it. And you even have like your daily boost, because there's something that, you know, actually there's the Connection app is something that I work with. And every day it has a spark, kind of like, you know, with your daily boost. And it's something that couples can do together. And I was going to ask you about this when. Well, I love that you said that. You know, somebody's not going to the gym anymore, but the other person is. So they say to them, okay, well, do you want to do it together? Do they need to find out first by themselves, like on their own, why they aren't doing it? Or do they just jump in and say, great, I've got the support. Let's do this together.
Well, I would just jump in when it comes to something like the gym, or when it comes to something like starting to eat less fast food or starting to drink less. Like, I unless someone has a serious problem with alcohol, or a serious problem with food, I think that we can just jump right in and start to make some changes, even if they're just small changes in the beginning. If someone continues to smack their head against the wall, though, Lisa, and they have good intentions to go to the gym or good intentions to quit drinking, but they can't do it, well, then definitely we encourage mm-hmm. them to work with a counselor, a coach, you know, a trainer, whatever it is that is the area of expertise you need help in. But I would say, you had mentioned, you know, what was it called, Connections?
Yeah, the Connection app. Yeah.
The Connection app. So if there's an app that will help a couple stay closer in touch, if there's an app that will help a couple, you know, challenge them. You're right, I love challenges, daily challenges. You know, if it'll challenge them to go to higher levels of of love and understanding and acceptance, you know, then we need these type of tools. We, you know, it's funny, there's a I'm dropping the name of this app that I recommend all the time.
yeah.
So funny. Anyway, it'll come to me. But it's a meditation app.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, it's called Headspace. It just popped
Headspace.
Into my head.
Yeah, Headspace.
So, you know, so if you struggle meditating and your partner has never meditated, do it together. You know, like, try to find similarities in your relationship versus the differences. Try to find, and you know, depending on how long we've gotten into bad habits and love, it can take a while to reclaim what you had in the beginning. And it may never come back at that velocity. You know, lust is incredible in the beginning of relationships. Sensuality is so much. And then sometimes within 2, 6, 8, 10 months, we've lost 90% of what we had. And it doesn't mean it can't be gotten back, at least a large percentage of it. But you know, here we go with the word challenge. You're going to have to challenge yourself to live life differently. If what you're doing right now isn't working, stop the insanity, take a big breath, write down on a piece of paper as Lisa and I are talking, what's that one area of life I'm denying, delaying, procrastinating? Is it my love life? You know, I was working with a couple the other day, and they're in real serious trouble. And I said to the woman, because I work with couples individually as a couples counselor, I don't believe in traditional couples counseling at all. I think it's a waste of time. And the reason why, Lisa, it doesn't matter if I'm on Skype with a couple working with their relationship or phone or in person, this is what I tell them. I will work with you guys one-on-one to help save your marriage. But I won't work with you as a couple on Skype, on the phone, or in person. And this is why. It always comes down to the couple doing what they do at home in front of me, which is argue, disagree. And I say to them, you can do this at home for free. Don't pay me to argue. Like, you guys have got this. You've mastered the art of arguments, okay? Like, you don't need to prove to me that you can argue. I would rather work with you guys separately and help you work on your own resentments than it is to have you in the office with me or on the Skype together. So we say to people, it's kind of like in sports, you know, if you go behind the scenes to a professional football or soccer or basketball practice, what you're going to see is this. With most sports, a certain position goes with a certain coach. So let's say football. The quarterbacks go with the quarterback coach to practice for most of the session. The wide receivers go with the wide receiver coach. The linemen go with the lineman coach. And then towards the end of the practice, they come together as a team. And when I do couples counseling, Lisa, it's the same thing. I say, I'm going to work on your strengths and your weaknesses, the wife. I'm going to work on your strengths and your weaknesses, the husband. And by diminishing your weaknesses and strengthening your strengths, the relationship will naturally start to come back together.
That is the most incredible thing that you just shared. I love that. Right now I'm just like gobbling that up. That is, first of all, thank you for using football as the analogy because I love football. But you were so right. We on our – and that's what the really Angel on a Surfboard shares us about is the true deep love, you know, whether it be for us and others, is we working – I love that you said that because – each, I'm going to call it positional coaching, because it is, you got to work on your own position before you can even, you're not a team until you're really good at what you do.
That's right. You know, one of, as Sandy Tavish, the lead character, goes through the book and we follow his escapades across the island, you know, one of the things that he, and he's dealing with an angel, right?
Yeah.
And the angel was a 70-year-old retired surfing king. Who is this mystical island person that happens to know everything that Sandy needs to learn to bring these messages, six keys to deep love, out to the world. And one of them, he says to Sandy, he goes, you know, one of the most crucial, if not the most important, is intense, deep self-love.
Mm.
And Sandy makes a comment similar to, well, that's something I've got nailed. And the angel says, really? He said, then why do you drink every night? If you truly love yourself, why are you drinking like that? Why are you a workaholic? And he goes through all of these lists of items, and Sandy's going, oh, my Lord, I thought I loved myself deeply.
Mm-hmm.
But as the angel is presenting these situations, scenarios to him, is that, you know, and this is the wake-up call, Sandy Tavish is realizing, like many of us, we think we're super honest and we think we're great communicators and we think we're in great shape and we think we're incredibly compassionate until we get stressed and then we overeat and overdrink and we shut down and we don't communicate and we do passive-aggressive behavior and we yell and call people names. And then we got to go, well, is that really someone who's filled with self-love?
Mm-hmm. You bring up, like, not only just in the book, but when you talk about these things, it always seems to come back to that self, like, really, like, looking at yourself, finding out if you, where you could strengthen, where, like, if you're doing those things. And you actually nail them when you say things. That's what I love about you. You're so down to earth. Well, that's funny. Angel on a surfboard. And I just called you down to earth. But but you really highlight the things that people really, especially like passive aggressive or blame or resentment or yelling, screaming or drinking or this and that, because, or workaholic or eating, all those things. And I guess that's why you really had to, in your practice, had to deal with them all, because we do these things. And if I could, I have to read my quote on your book.
Yeah,
because it was just when I wrote it, I was like, gosh, it's so true. And I quote you in my quote. So I wanted to share this with everybody. David's Angel on a Surfboard takes sexy and respect to a deeper level to help the reader find true love. So with, and this is now a quote, David, the writer. So without the pain or discomfort we experience in relationships, we couldn't experience true love. This is a question that's asked, and this is what I want to touch on. So I'm going to say it again. So without the pain or discomfort we experience in relationships, we couldn't experience true love because we'd have nothing to compare it to. These are two questions that when asked actually bring forth a knowingness, a realization of the gifts that we access from each of our partners for us to find self-love and true love all around. So glad you don't, as I wrote, so glad you don't serve, David, because poolside writing is your thing.
That is so beautiful and loving. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It was just, you know, when you're, every relationship that we enter, it's so interesting because maybe Jane Fonda actually, she would never have thought of going red, and maybe she loved it. Maybe she looked incredible, which I saw her as a redhead too at times. So maybe, you know, so we do get to have these experiences that come up and the willingness. And what do you suggest to people on an individual basis when they're come up with a challenge like, oh, should I grow here or this is a no-go for me? I really am this way. How do we know when we're just digging our heels in and don't want to change, or that we really truly, that's not for us, we don't want to change that way? How do we know what's good for us and not good for us?
Boy, that's a really tough question, Lisa. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple ways to answer it. Number one, most of us shy away from those areas of life that we need to really work on. So we will come up with excuses. Well, I'm a middle child. I'm a Virgo. I'm too old. I'm too young. I've tried that before. It didn't work. You know, as you know, I'm a fully recovered former alcoholic and cocaine addict that struggled for over 30 years in my addictions.
Yeah.
And during that time, whenever anyone might mention, geez, do you think you might want to cut back a little bit? I just got defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
If someone's making recommendations to you about your weight, drinking, smoking, how you spend money, and those areas of life aren't healthy for you, and someone is bringing it to your attention, that is a gift. Now, most of us don't look at it.
Right? Yeah.
But if someone, you know, like I, in our book, in the book Angel on the Surfboard, we refer to something about when you're looking for a partner that you really need to follow the 3% rule of dating. And so what does that mean? Well, what most of us do when we look for a long-term partner is that we only focus on compatibility.
Mm.
We love the same movies, we love the same art, we love the beach, we love the gym, we love fishing, whatever it is. And so we must be made for each other because we have this compatibility. And it's probably one of the biggest forces that we've been taught in love. Because long-term love isn't just based on compatibility. I mean, you've got to be compatible. That should be a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. But really, what the odds of success increase dramatically is when we stop spending time with people that have what we would consider deal killers.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the book, as the angel is teaching Sandy these rules of deep love, you know, he's going, well, what's the 3% rule of dating? The 3% rule of dating says that you can have 97% compatibility with someone, Lisa. 97% of all these things could be great, but if that person has one of your deal killers, and I'll just make some deal killers up. Let's say that you're...
Oh, wait. Let's hold on there for just 1 second. We have to slip away for the 2-minute commercial break, the final one, but this is perfect. When we come back, you guys are going to learn what the deal killers are.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mind connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. Perfect way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Mind connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Thanks for sticking around. I know you've been waiting for this. You are listening to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. We've got the 3% rule of dating coming up, but the deal killers. And before we've got David Essel. David, I got to ask you something. Did you get to hear that commercial with for the Connection app?
Yes, I did. That's...
Oh, I lost you.
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you got to hear it?
Okay, yes, I heard the commercial for the app, and I love it. I think it's great.
I have to tell you, that's me singing that one and saying that.
it's so good.
You know what? I just fell in love with it so much, because I want to say this before, because I think of everything as a relationship. I do. Like, it's so... you've got to be a connect. You've got to relate to something in your life, and that's how we choose. And that's like, and I'm so glad that you're talking about compatibility and how important that is. Yes, but there's these things, because I think that's like why I've been a serial dater all of my life, because I wanted everything to be perfect all the time, and probably went on that thing like everything's got to be compatible, because I'm not changing, and I'm not going to do this as I don't want to do this. And it's been, my gosh, it puts you on a road that is never ending in life if you do that. So I'm so excited to hear about this. So let's just repeat that with the whole from the 3% thing to the deal breaker.
Yeah. So in the book, Angel on the Surfboard, a mystical romance novel offering the keys to deep love, the angel, this retired surfer who knows everything about everything, is sharing with Sandy what he believes that the messages that need to give out to change the relationship issues in our world. And, you know, our relationships in general are in really bad shape. So Sandy is in all ears, and then the angel starts talking about the 3% rule of dating. And Sandy recalls it quite well, and basically it says, while compatibility is awesome, and you need compatibility in a relationship, that's just common sense. But you can have 97% compatibility in a relationship, and the relationship can still be filled with tons of chaos and drama if your partner has any of your deal killers.
Mm.
And I can give some stories. You know, one is that if you're very strong in your religion, you may say that I can only be with someone in my religion. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. That's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that you go, I only want someone in my religion, and I want to raise kids in my religion and all that kind of stuff. Great. Well, then you cannot, regardless of how seductive or tempting someone is, you can't all of a sudden say, well, you know what I'm going to do? You know, Jim has everything together. He's a different religion, but we'll figure it out. You won't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
If that is a deal killer, you've got to say to Jim, you know what? I love you very much. If you want to be a part of my religion, feel free to, but if not, I'm going to have to continue looking. And that's,
right.
And Lisa, you know what? This is just an independent person that has taken the time to write down those areas of life that will not work for them. You know, I've worked with couples in the past that have said, you know what? I'll never date another person that drinks. All these guys I've dated say they're social drinkers, but they're not. So that's it. So then she comes into the office and she goes, oh my God, I met this greatest guy. And we're going to go out tomorrow night, and we're going to meet for drinks. And I look at her, and I go, now, wait a minute. Didn't you just create a list of deal killers, and one of them is that you really wanted to be with someone that doesn't drink? Well, yeah, but you wouldn't believe what he does for a living.
Oh.
And so all of a sudden, people start shifting. You know, or another example that I have is that I worked with a young lady who we created her deal killer list, and one of them was that she would never date another man that was separated. Now, separated means married.
Okay. Yes, I see what you're saying.
Let me make this point clear. Separated simply means I'm married, okay? It doesn't mean anything. So if you're going to date someone that's separated, just raise your hand and say, I am willing and ready and able to take all of his BS, all of his drama and chaos, all of his wife's drama and chaos, all of his kids' drama and chaos, I can't wait to get filled with drama and chaos. And if that's exciting to you, then go for it. But what happened with this young woman is that she had had a series 6, 7, 8 relationships in 3 years just go down the tubes. And several of those guys she dated were guys that were separated that told her they were really close to divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides that that's a deal killer. And then she comes in and she says, oh, my God, you're not going to believe who I met. And she told, and I don't know who it was, she told me, and then she told me all about, you know, that he was this high quality and he was this deeply religious man and he was all of these things. And I said, awesome. How long has he been divorced?
Ah!
Well, he's going through the process right now. And I said, just 3 weeks ago, you're in here and we're working on that being with a divorce star. You're going to change your mind. And now this is a client that I have worked with for a while. She decided to date him. This was like 3 or 4 years ago. And Lisa, every month, there's another big issue.
Oh.
It has been nothing. She's been with him for several years. It's been nothing but chaos and drama.
Why do we do that then? Like, we have such, if these are, we know they're deal killers and we stated them and we just know, why do we, how can we not break that cycle? Like, why is it so hard?
It's a sign of low self-confidence and low self-esteem. Self-esteem is self-love, so you're right. You know, someone meets the man of their dreams or the woman of their dreams, and they're a smoker, and you said that you couldn't bring in a smoker, but you wouldn't believe, you know, this person brings it all to the table other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen is that because we don't have the confidence that we can find someone that doesn't have our deal killers, and you can. You know, but that's the one. There are millions of people in this world right now that would be great partners that don't smoke, that are strong on their religion, that don't want children or do want children or whatever your deal breakers are. There's people out there. If we don't have the confidence to slow the path down, Lisa, then we're not showing self-love. We are not. If we break our own words, our own integrity, that's the opposite of self-love.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. Okay, I have to repeat that. When we break our own integrity. Okay, so that's where I want to sit just for a second, because that is huge. Because in Angel on a Surfboard, it feels like everybody was learning how to hold their integrity, but first they have to know what they even stand for. And if I was to ask you to, I want to talk about the word confidence and integrity. When you look at somebody who's really confident, we don't mean ego, we don't mean cocky and all that kind of stuff, but what to you would you say, what attributes do they hold and what do they feel about themselves when they're truly confident?
Well, when someone is, that's a wonderful question, Lisa. When someone is confident, they don't shy away from their own issues.
Isn't that
interesting? Because most people think if someone is confident that they can take on the world, that there isn't a goal too small or too big, and all that. Relate to confidence, but really the most confident people, I will tell you, one of the most confident days of my life that I had, and it didn't feel good, and let me tell you what it was, didn't feel good at all, was the day I decided to go into a treatment center to get help from my addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Confident people are extremely humble, and they're vulnerable. Confident people ask for help when they're out of their own league and don't know how to do something. And it took me 30 years of suffering before I had the confidence to ask for help, Lisa. But when we ask for help, so when we raise our hand and ask a counselor, you know, I have a history of dating that hasn't worked. I need your help. That's a confident person. They're humble, they're vulnerable, they're confident. They know themselves, they know they need to change, and they're willing to change. I love that about the strength of being a confident, independent person.
Wow. Oh, I love that. And then when someone is that way, then they're humble, vulnerable, they can ask for help, they don't shy away, and they stick with it, is that where that's where you become integral. You really are aligning with what's best for you.
Yeah, those individuals that make a decision that I'm going to be patient, and in my next relationship, I'm going to make sure that there aren't these 3 or 4 deal killers. That's a person who's confident. Now, as long as they pull that off, that proves that their confidence is strong. But if they start using justifications and rationalizations, well, normally I wouldn't date this type of person, but now they just shattered their integrity, and their confidence is going to hell.
And that spills over to so many areas of in life. Just like if we accept a job that we know that maybe the pay rate isn't there, but we've got to pay the bills, but we're like, oh gosh, you know, I'm taking minimum wage, but I've already gone through all the schooling and I feel like I'm worth more. Well, actually, I know it has nothing to do with relationships, but sometimes we are going to bring that into a relationship. I do ask you that. When it talks about being confident, knowing your worth, and having those deal killers kind of thing in anything, are there some things that we do just have to? Like, I guess mates are different because you don't have to be in a relationship. But when it comes to earning money or things like that, do they have killers in other areas?
Well, I would say, like, let's say that you don't have a choice and you're down on your luck and you need a job and you're going to get kicked out of your house or whatever, your apartment, whatever it might be. There are certain times that we really do have to drop our high standards, and we may end up taking a job at a restaurant or a convenience store or something that we never had planned on doing, just to help us get by. And that would be a sign of confidence. Someone who walks into a job, listen to this, Lisa, someone that walks into a job that might be quote unquote below them, but busts their butt and works hard and is a great example, is a very confident person in life. And they know that this isn't long term. They know this might be a year, it might be 6 months, it might be 2 years. They know they're going to get back on their feet. They're confident of it, but they also understand that, hey, sometimes life throws us crap. I have to deal with it. I'm going to bite my tongue, work my butt off for this guy, and let's just move forward. Let's get rid of this whole small ego thing that says I shouldn't have to work in this type of environment, and let's just do the work.
This is perfect segue, because you love this topic. You'd have so much about it, about codependency. And, you know, when you said that in that example there, you said, you know what, I've down my luck this time. I'm going to do it now, but I'm going to do it well because I know this isn't the long-term plan. There's a way that I'm going to, you know, exit and do my thing. When we're in a codependent relationship, would you say that's like how we can be confident, is to know that we're going to have to leave that. We have to rise above and exit that. How can one identify that they have low confidence and that they're in a codependent relationship?
Well, if you're being mistreated emotionally or physically, if you're married or dating someone with a serious addiction, right away, I'm going to say, get help. You know, if you don't have money, go to a church, go to a spiritual center. They'll do, you know, sliding scale fees. Some offer free. But a person in a codependent relationship that knows that they're neglected emotionally or physically, or they're abused emotionally or physically, or they're with someone who has an addiction, I mean, their very first move is to go and get help with a professional. And it really is a huge move, because they feel embarrassed, they feel ashamed, and if they're truly codependent, they're really afraid of what might happen when they exit the relationship. That, you know, their ex will talk poorly about them, that their friends or family will give them a hard time. There's all these different things that a codependent has to face. And as you know, in our work, and we say this in all of our books, codependency to us is the largest addiction in the world. Yes. I mean, it's just huge. It is everywhere. You know, and I wrote an article recently that's on marriage.com. That we believe 80% of relationships in the United States alone, Lisa, are incredibly unhealthy.
Oh.
And they're filled with addiction. They're filled with codependency. You know, the first marriages, 56% will end in divorce. Second marriages, 65% will end in divorce. Third marriages, 72% will end in divorce.
These are staggering numbers. Yeah.
These are unbelievable numbers, right? They are just massive numbers. But that's not even talking about the people that stick it out in insane relationships. Mm-hmm. That's not talking about people that are with alcoholics that don't pay any attention to them, or with spendaholics that keep them in financial distress, or with boonaholics. You know, like, so many relationships, people are so codependent, they stay for years past its expiration date because they're afraid to be alone, they're afraid to rock the boat. And all those examples I just gave are examples where that if I was in that situation, I would be looking for help from a professional to help me decide, is there a way to save this? And will my partner be open to working, or is it time for me to exit?
And that's a perfect way of asking. You know, I hope everybody can, if you're listening right now and you're thinking, I don't know and I need to find out, I want to invite you to reach out to David. David helps so many people. First of all, A, go get the book Angel on a Surfboard, because this is about the keys to deep love. And then if you aren't just quite sure, because that's a super fun read, and you think I need more, then I want you to reach out to David. And David, where can everybody get a hold of you after they read this book?
Yes. Oh, my God. Grab the book. It is so much fun. And then go to talkdavid.com, talkdavid.com. We have what you mentioned earlier, the free daily boost, a daily video program is free at talkdavid.com. We have a free meditation audio. Angel on the Surfboard, the book is there. Go to talkdavid.com, and if you need help, you and I will work together.
Oh, I love that. And you've helped literally like millions. I know that. And so everybody, thank you so much, David. This is just, it always flies. It always goes by. I really want to talk for like another 3 hours, but
I agree.
Thank you for sharing your road trip with us. And everybody, just get the book. I'm going to post it on everywhere you can possibly see it. And I need to see if I can get David to try out the Connection app.
I would love to, Lisa. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Light on Living with Lisa Berry.